You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
On a Friday in the great city of Chicago, Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman till noon, then Carmen and Yurko are in. Waddle and Sylvie at 2, including Theo Epstein on their show at 2:30. 312-332-3776, the number if you want to chime in. We're talking about college football. Where is it headed, in your opinion? The Big Ten saying they're only going to play conference games. Last hour, we had baseball analyst Eduardo Perez on the show. He likes the White Sox chances in the AL Central better than the Cubs chances. And I'm a big Reds fan, but I can't say for sure they're going to win. Like, it does feel like there's more parity in the NL Central. When I say I'm a big Reds fan for this season, not in general, I just like their team. Maybe I'm overselling them, but it does feel like there's more parity in the NL Central than the AL Central. So maybe Eduardo's on to something. 312-332-3776. The Cubs pushing back some of their workout stuff today because they're waiting on testing. So those are some of the things in the news that we've been discussing. But Danny, if I could spit at you right now, I would, but that would be against CDC guidelines.
Yeah, I'll take a pass on the spitting, Jesse. I thought the story you posted today on ESPN.com was very interesting. I think all the stuff, like you're talking about the Reds' chances and who has a better shot of winning, the White Sox or Cubs, it's all a fun exercise. But me personally, with this 60-game season coming up ahead of us, I don't buy into any of it. Like, it is pointless for us to try to predict what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to come out super hot for the first 10 games and who's going to come out super cold. We don't know about slumps. I think with this season being the way that it is, any kind of predictions are going to go out of the window early. So for me as a baseball fan, what's most interesting is the crowd noise, what they're going to do with the fans. And the story you wrote today about how players are going to have to deal with actually stopping to spit, because it's not only spitting seeds, it's not only spitting on the field. These guys are used to spitting in their hands and their gloves before they go up to bat.
Yeah, and that's the biggest change in talking to the players for this story is those things that have been ingrained. Spitting. I mean, Schwarber mentioned high fiving. It's just so natural. Guy comes back after a home run. I mean, it's just, I think a lot of them are going to forget and break some of those rules. Wearing a mask inside while they're working out, that doesn't sound pleasant at all. But I would say that the heat of the battle stuff, like spitting, is going to be number one, because that is just second nature. Justin Turner was talking about, I mean, every other second he's spinning when he's, you know, stepping out of the batter's box to get ready and stuff like that. So I don't know what's going to necessarily be enforced or not. I mean, I haven't really, in the week of watching Cubs practices, I've been there like 4 or 5 days, I haven't really watched closely if guys are spitting. I would need the binoculars, I think, to see it from the press box. TV cameras obviously will pick this up better, but are they really going to enforce, guys, you know, about the spitting rule? I don't know. It seems a little ridiculous.
Jess, do the Cubs have a lot of guys that use dip on the team? I mean, you don't have to say specifically who. I know these guys want to be role models to kids, but
right.
Are there a lot of guys that use dip? And if so, because people that use dip, that's an addiction. That's something that they rely on. That's a crutch. A lot of people use it, you know, as a stimulant. That would be incredibly hard to break, especially if they're used to using it while they're playing baseball. And that might be a point where they might not be able to play the game without it.
Yes, there are a few. There are a few for sure. I don't know. I don't know. 25%. There's a handful that use dip for sure.
Can they not use it? Like, since they can't spit, how can they possibly use it?
Well, I mean, can you spit into a cup only? I mean, is that...
Then you're carrying around a vial of coronavirus.
Corona, right. Yeah, I don't think they can. That's a question I didn't even ask for this story. What about the dip, you know?
Why don't you run your stories by me before you post
them? Yeah, I'll just have you write them. What about guys that dip? I haven't seen that come up anywhere. I would imagine they can't. I mean, dipping is all about spitting, right? And that's the one thing they don't want you doing. So I imagine they're not going to be able to use that.
Sunflower seeds? Are there sunflower seeds this year?
No sunflower seeds. So there won't be dipping unless they hide it somehow. You know what I mean? Like, guys hide it now because they don't want the public to see them dipping a lot of time. But they certainly aren't going to be dipping while they're playing. The question is if they're in the dugout not playing. Can they sort of do something on the side? I don't think so.
Have any of you guys, Chris, Tyler, Jesse, had to break a bad habit in your lifetime? Like, you would assume that if these baseball players can't dip, and let's be honest, there's no way they should be allowed to spit dip in a cup or on the field. So let's say they're going to have to break the habit and go on with the game. That's going to be incredibly impossible, incredibly difficult, not impossible. Breaking habits are obviously possible. People do it every day. Have you guys ever broken a bad habit, and what was that like? Also, we'd like to hear from you if you were a dipper at some point, because this applies directly to baseball, and you broke the habit. How difficult was it? 312-332-3776.
Yeah, I'm wondering, again, there's no way they can dip, because if you can't spit, you can't dip, and it's just not sanitary. But guys, like I said, they've already done well in hiding it. Will they continue to do well? Like, they have experience in hiding the dip a lot of times.
Yeah,
will they continue
Jess,
that, or do they understand that that's just wrong and putting your teammates at risk and stuff like that?
That's what I was going to say, Jess. They could hide it, right? But how selfish is that? Like, if Chris was a dipper and we told him he couldn't dip because he couldn't spit around all of us and he hit it, he's putting me and my family at jeopardy. He's putting Tyler at jeopardy. You would assume these guys aren't going to go to that extent of being selfish.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And the Cubs haven't had one positive test among their players, knock on wood, which is my head. And I think that they're one of the teams that's positioned well to follow those protocols. It's such a veteran, tight-knit team. I don't think anyone's going to do anything to put anybody in jeopardy.
Yeah, but they messed up the other day. I read somewhere that two guys shared a glove.
They did do that, and it was addressed, apparently. They thought it was sanitized or something. Yeah, they did. Look, like I said before, they're not going to be perfect. I wrote the story. Players admitted they're not going to be perfect, but I think they're well-positioned to do the best they possibly can to do the right thing. I was mostly thinking off the field, you know, more than anything, because on the field, that just is a mistake. But off the field, I think they're pretty well position to do that.
All right, Jess, we got our first dipper. I don't know if he's a little dipper or a big dipper on the line. Charlie in Braidwood, dipper.
Hey, what's going on? Big dipper over here.
All right, I would hope nothing less.
No, I used to chew tobacco. I quit in chewing tobacco. I don't spit anything out now. I use these little things called Zins, and it's just like Nicorette ground up in a pouch, and you swallow it. It's kind of like snus, which is pretty popular in Europe, too. I think everybody's going to be switching over to something like that, where it's still like chewing, but you're not having to spit, and there's not loose tobacco everywhere. You can just put it in your mouth and be done with it.
What? Why do you use it? What benefit do you get from it?
It's a nicotine addiction. I mean, I just...
But do you,
I was too lazy to actually quit. My wife was always yelling at me, hey, you can't be chewing anymore, and I just switched to this, and she's okay with it, so...
All right,
It's hard to quit anything, so I think a lot of these guys are still going to be doing something on the side. I think they're just going to have to find an alternative like the one I'm using.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Thanks for sharing your story. Good luck quitting if you ever decide to do it. Yeah, listen, ESPN 1000, we do not condone dipping. We don't condemn it, but we're not telling you to dip. I just find this incredibly interesting. You've got baseball players who are now dealing with a completely different situation, a 60-game season. They're in a bubble, basically. They're with their team. They have to social distance. And also, by the way, if you've got an addiction to dip, you're going to have to stop doing that. I think it's incredibly interesting of a story. Mark in Oswego, also a dipper. I'm assuming a big one. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, actually, I'm not. I don't smoke. I don't dip. I don't do anything. But I played a lot of ball in my life all through college, and I played with two guys that dipped at least 2 to 3 cans a day or tins, and they never spit. They swallowed everything.
I think that makes you sick.
Yeah, I was about to say.
As gross as can be, but they did, and they weren't taking pinch dips. They were taking, like, an eighth of a tin on one dip. So they would put large amounts in, and while they played, then they never spit.
All right, thanks, Mark. Jess, have you ever tried dipping in your life?
I mean, I tried it, did not like it, did not take to it or anything. I mean, you're talking about years and years and years ago, probably on a baseball diamond, if I recall, or dugout or whatever. I don't know many people that swallow it.
I don't think you can. I think it will physically make you ill to swallow
that. So I've tried one time in my life.
Producer Tyler, who, by the way, is 20 years old, so, I mean, your parents are hearing about this, cannot be happy.
I tried it one time. It was when I was working for a baseball team, and I did it wrong, and it just shot right back. Like, I threw up. It was disgusting. It was, I'll never do it again.
What do you mean you did it wrong?
Like, I swallowed a little bit of the tobacco juice and I just threw it back up.
It's disgusting. I tried it one time. I was in college, freshman in college, University of Kansas. A guy that lived two doors down was a dipper, dipped all the time. One night I said, what the hell? Let me try it. I put a little bit in my lip. I got so high off that nicotine that I never, ever thought about doing it again. I was nauseous. I felt green. It was not something that appealed to me. I don't understand how it became like a thing for baseball players. Like, I get chewing gum. I get spitting seeds. I don't get the dipping.
Well, it'll be interesting if the cameras are on these guys, if anyone's actually doing it. That's the thing. I mean, it'll be – fans will see it. You know, obviously, I won't see it from the press box necessarily unless the guy is just obviously spitting or my binoculars are on him, which I bring to every practice now and every game, I'm sure, coming up. But the cameras will pick up on these guys, and if someone's chewing and spitting, there'll be a problem. There'll be a problem with it for sure.
Let's check in with Mike in Berwyn. He was a big dipper, but he is no more. Mike, what's up, bud?
No, I didn't dip. I smoked cigarettes for almost 14 years. I quit cold turkey 10 years ago, the night before my dad's funeral. He passed away from lung cancer, and watching him die, I never had the urge to actually smoke a cigarette after seeing what happened to him, but the nicotine withdrawal, because the night before his funeral, I smoked my last one, threw the rest of the pack in the trash. And for about the first 2 to 3 weeks, if the wind blew in my face, I would just go into a rage. Like, it was just anything would set me off. For about 3 weeks, it was like that. And then out of nowhere, I woke up one day and it was gone. But, I mean, it's a nicotine withdrawal is going to do that. You're going to see these guys just get agitated as hell. You know, because that's what happens to your body when you quit that stuff. You know, you crave it, you have to have it. And if you don't give it to yourself, you know, your body just goes nuts.
Danny, referencing our conversation from last hour, I know a former player that was a big dipper. Do you want me to give him a call?
Oh, here we go. At least you're doing it on the air. See, if you're going to suggest rando guests, at least do it on the air.
I'm going to do it on the air from now on. I got a guy that used to dip, and he's a former player.
But is
a big
he
name,
like?
But you want him on?
Listen, is he a former player like in Kyle Schwarber category, or is he a former player in like a Steve Cishek category? Like, we're like,
oh, 10 day
contract guy. Is that what we're doing? 10 day?
He's not even a Cub or White Sox, and he was a cup of coffee player. So there you go. It's like the least of.
No, Jesse. I do not want. We've got full phones of our listeners
and
that dip.
And to reference what we talked about off the air, because you didn't say it, he's also an agent. So there you go.
Oh, like, my goodness. Also an agent.
How could we pass that on?
That's the hook. He's an agent, everybody. Oh, my God. All right, listen. We've got full phones of people wanting to talk about dip. I don't know if we're going to get all of you. I can tell you this. Gone but not forgotten. That's next.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Company till noon. Jesse Rogers and Danny Zetterman sitting in 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776 is their number. Talking about a little bit of summer camp for the baseball players and, you know, what's been weird for them the first week of the season. And Justin Turner mentioned no spitting. And, of course, that spurned this conversation about guys that like to dip and how they're going to have to probably cut that habit out, Danny. You know, my question to these players was exactly that. What's been weird the first week? No one was specific about the dipping situation, but maybe they didn't want to admit to it, right? They didn't want to admit to it. It's mostly about just how weird their schedule is now. Steve Cishek, you mentioned him earlier, talking about, you know, being told when you can do this, when you can do that, where you can be, where you can't be, because they don't want groups of players in the same place at the same time. So definitely a weird first week for baseball players, but hopefully they're starting to get used to it. And the news today, the Cubs again had to push some things back, I guess, change their schedule around a little bit as they wait for the results of their tests from Tuesday, their COVID-19 tests from earlier in the week.
Jess, earlier in the week when you were on, we talked about the crowd noise and the piped-in crowd noise at Wrigley Field for these practices. And I think David Ross has done a great job of kind of building an atmosphere for these guys. I don't know if you saw this, though, but yesterday Anthony Rendon of the Angels was asked about piped-in crowd noise, and he said, quote, "It's stupid."
Well, I've heard that from a few people, not that as blatant or blunt, I guess, but the player's the point. I think that they will listen to their players. If their players are distracted by it in any manner, then they won't do it. Now, some players might like it, some might, and then a decision has to be made. But if there's a majority that like it one way or another, that's the way the team's going to go. You know what? Why piss off Anthony Rendon, right? If he doesn't like it, he's one of the key players in the team, then don't use it. It does nothing. The other thing you can do is just pipe it in to the broadcast and not into the stadium, so the players don't necessarily have to hear it. So I think it's good that he gets his opinion out there, because I would assume the Angels are going to listen to it.
Absolutely. All right, before we went to break, I teased Gone But Not Forgotten, and that is, of course, in reference to Gar Forman. Gar Forman was let go by the Bulls earlier this year. John Paxson was moved up into a different position with the organization. Unfortunately, we can't get away from these guys. A few days ago, Luol Deng was on the Simply Carroll podcast, and he was talking about his journey with the Bulls and what playing with the Bulls meant for him, and he was talking about how Gar Forman and he were negotiating a contract, and he was asked once again to take a hometown discount. Have a listen, Jess.
The year before the contract, me and Tibbs went in and we talked to Gar Forman at the time, who's the GM, and we said, you know, I want to sign right now before the free agency comes up and other people offer money. And, you know, at the time he said, I was 28. He told me to take another team discount. And I remember saying, why would I take another team discount? Like, you know, why is there a discount again? You know, because this is where I was an all-star. So he said, you know, we want you to take a team discount. So I was like, okay, what's a team discount? He didn't discuss anything. And at the time, you know, it didn't make sense for my career and where I'm at the best of my career. So Tibbs was upset. And Tibbs kept telling him, sign Lou. I need you to sign Lou. So when the year started, I wasn't signed for the Bulls. And Tibbs decided that he's going to make them know how important I am for the team, and ran everything through me. And this is why I love Tibbs till today. You know, ran everything through me. And I was averaging 20 at the time when I got traded. When the front office saw that I was averaging 20, obviously now everyone wanted to pay me more money. So they decided that it was better to trade me before, you know, they lose me for nothing. So I was called into the office and I was given 2 days to take $30 million for 3 years or, you know, or else. I decided to go with or else. When I got traded, I remember I felt betrayed, you know, in a way, because the guy who traded me obviously ruined the team. Yeah, and I don't mind saying that now. I would never speak about him as a person, but just, you know, the decisions that he's made, because it changed the whole course of what we were trying to do. We, you know, when Derek got hurt, we really felt that we were going to win a championship. But when he broke up the team, you just feel hurt because we became so close as a team, but we had a mission. And that was to wait for Derek to get healthy and go at it again. But he decided to just break up the team, which, you know, when I left to another team, that's when I really started feeling the, you know, being somewhere different. And I'm lucky that I got 10 years. So
that's Luol Deng on the Simply Carroll podcast. Now, he talks about taking another hometown discount. That's because he signed a six-year, $71 million extension with the Bulls as a 23-year-old in 2008. He was playing far better than that, and he knew on the open market he would demand more money. The Bulls, Gar Forman came to him, and they said, hey, Lou, we want to re-sign you. After a little pushing at first, as you heard there, Thibs wanted him signed, and they weren't having it. Then they wanted to give him about $10 million a year, which, by the way, after he was traded, I believe he was traded to the Cavaliers, he signed a deal with the Miami Heat, which paid him $10 million a year.
Right. You know, what's interesting to me is just so many things that go on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and hopefully, you know, sometimes find out about later, including things that affect the on the court. I mean, if that's true, the offense was running through Lou Alding for reasons other than basketball reasons. I mean, the way he described it. Now, Lou Alding's not a bad guy to run through at that time because he knows what he's doing with the basketball. But Tibbs is running the offense through him in order to make a point to the front office. I mean, think about that. Those are the sort of things that go on all the time behind the scenes with teams in any sport that we don't hear about until maybe much, much later. But it's just another nail in the Gar Forman coffin, right? I mean, we've heard little stories like this throughout, and I commend Deng for telling it and being upfront. I assume it's true until Gar Forman says differently or Tom Thibodeau says differently. I believe him. I mean, he sounded well spoken in that and pretty honest. And it's just another nail in the coffin for Gar as an executive in Chicago.
Here's the thing, and I don't want to defend Gar Forman because we all know what this Bulls team has become with Gar Forman at the helm running the organization. But after this podcast came out, reports surfaced that said basically ownership mandated to Gar Forman in the Bulls front office that they had to get under the luxury tax after Derrick Rose tore his meniscus in his right knee in 2013. So perhaps that's why they're telling Lou Alding you have to take a hometown discount, just because they had a mandate that they couldn't be over the luxury tax if they were not going to win a championship.
Well, maybe so, but he's the front man for ownership. So he's the guy. I mean, look, was it Michael or Jerry Reinsdorf telling Lou Alding these things? No, it was Gar Forman. So of course, Lou Alding is going to be upset at the person that told him these things. So I don't care where the marching orders came from. It's Gar Forman. That's the guy that's front and center.
I always believe don't shoot the messenger. Chris Black, as our NBA expert, this Bulls team, had it remained intact, had they given it a chance for Derek to return, you heard Luol say we wanted to wait for Derek to return. We thought we could win a championship. Do you believe in your heart that team could have competed for an NBA championship?
Probably, because think about it. For that season back in 2014, before Deng was traded, Jimmy Butler was 24. He was only giving you 13 points a game. He was only playing 28 minutes a night. You turn Jimmy Butler into a star that he became, and you keep him with your team long term, that team probably competes. And it probably competes with a Derrick Rose and a Lou Alding and what they have going forward. You know, the one thing that I hear Lou talk about that, and it confirms the stories, like Jesse said, about Gar Forman that we've heard in the past, about behind the scenes, how players strongly did not like him, did not like dealing with him. But then on the flip side, it also supports the conversations and the stories that we've heard about Tom Thibodeau. Why do players love Tom Thibodeau? Because when he sees what the organization is trying to do, he goes to his players and says, hey, Lou, listen, you need to get paid. We're going to make sure that you're getting your shots up so you're leading the team in scoring 19 points per game, which, Jesse, you look at the team, without Derrick Rose, you needed someone to score. So they needed a player to step up. Lou stepped up. Thibodeau took care of him. Now it's up to the organization to match that. It's why players love playing for Tom Thibodeau. He gets it. He gets
it.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a player's coach. He might be tough. He might be hard. He might demand a lot of minutes from the guys. But he also understands that if there's production, dollars follow the production. I think it goes hand in hand. Players do not like Gar Forman. They like Tom Thibodeau. And I think you heard kind of all of that together. And Danny, to answer your question, yeah, I think they could have competed. We saw multiple times in playoff series where they beat the Heat in games. They didn't win the series, but they won games. They probably, if you keep it together long enough, we've seen that throughout NBA history, if you keep a team together long enough, at some point, that group together finds a way to get it done. So I could see an alternative universe where all these pieces, if Gar Forman didn't break it up like Luol was suggesting, all these pieces together actually finding a way. Noah, Deng, Butler, Rose, the whole group. I could see that coming together at some point.
Well, and I mean, hindsight's 2020. You couldn't do much worse than they did after they broke it up. Like, if things got better, if the rebuild worked, okay, fine, good job. But it's been awful since then. So looking back, you absolutely had nothing to lose to keep them together and give it a shot. So,
well, you know, they got nothing for Deng. They got Andrew Bynum, who they waived.
Yeah.
They got three conditional draft picks, which one of them became Jordan Bell. Don't even get Sylvie started on Jordan Bell because they flipped him to Golden State just for a pocket full of cash.
Don't let the ownership hear that.
Yeah, I mean, they got nothing for Luol Deng. But to go back, Chris, you were talking about why players love playing for Tom Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. Do you know in that year where everything ran through Deng, he averaged 39 minutes per game and he had a 25.1% usage rate. Didn't he break down? Like, can't you connect the dots to perhaps this was like the beginning of people saying, what do they call it?
Well, weren't most of his injuries hand related? Like, didn't he have torn ligaments in his thumb?
He had a random spinal tap.
Like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I don't think that's from getting overworked.
But listen, you know, the one thing Thibodeau did was, if you remember early on in Luol's career, he was shooting a lot of three pointers. And Tom Thibodeau said, here's where you're good. Here's where you're efficient. That 15 to 17 foot jump shot off the elbow. And as long as we draw plays for that and you excel at that, the rest of your game will open up. So, yeah, okay, he logged a lot of minutes. Jimmy Butler's logged a lot of minutes in his career. He hasn't broken down. You know, I think Tom Thibodeau maximized what he had in a basketball player in Luol Deng. And Lou stepped up to the plate, and he was able to succeed based on what Tom Thibodeau was, the situation he was putting him in.
All right, guys, when we come back, Drew Brees, you've officially made it. That's next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
Back Monday, Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman here, 312-332-3776. Danny, little news. I just got an email from MLB. 28 different clubs have had a covered individual test positive. That just means a player or staff member under their program test positive. That's what they mean by covered. 28 different clubs have had a covered individual test positive since the intake screening or during monitor testing, basically up until now. 28 different clubs. The Cubs are one of two. I don't know the other one that has not had a positive test since intake. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Is it luck? Did they take care of themselves better than other teams during the quarantine? I don't know, but it's good news. It's good news. They don't have anybody out of circulation due to that. So some of the other numbers about this came in. Basically, 0.7% of the 11,000 samples since the beginning of intake screening came back positive, a total number of 83 out of 11,149.
Who sent the email? Should we put them on?
Yeah, we could. We could.
Do we need to book
PR
that guy?
Department or of MLB.
Maybe that guy's agent, that gal's agent, book them, Jess, for the show.
Come on, the spitting person was good. The guy that used to
some
to
random ball player
good.
That yeah. spit. Yeah, let's put him on. Drew Brees has officially made it, Jess. Kid Cudi and Eminem, they released a new song overnight. It's called The Adventures of Moon Man and Slim Shady. The song's about current events in the world like police brutality and coronavirus. Halfway through the song, Eminem gives New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees a little shout-out by saying, F Drew Brees. You know you've made it in pop culture in the world when Eminem is dissing you on one of his tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Are you going to read the track?
Listen, it's full of swear words. You want us to play it? You want to one day we work together on Captain Company and we're going to lose the license for ESPN 1000.
I have the lyrics in front of me. Can I just use can I use one letter to describe the curse?
Is it what I just said, F Drew Brees? Am I working with Cap? I just said F Drew Brees.
You might be.
Said it.
This is something.
I want to make sure I
go
can
ahead,
do that.
Jess,
if you
go
do
ahead.
It. I had hoop dreams, now I shoot threes. Got a little green, but I don't do weed. Perp Norleen, that's Tunichi. That's New Orleans, F Drew Brees.
What? Now, I go to Tyler and Chris to translate what Jesse just said.
This is certainly putting Rizzo on the mound in a game, maybe in the 11th inning, you run out of pitchers to roll out there, so you roll Rizzo out there onto the mound to hurl a few. That's Jesse reading rap lyrics. I mean, my God.
This should be a regular bit on the show where Jesse reads rap. But we've been talking a lot about music this week, Jess, because on Sunday night, ESPN aired an Eagles concert. Did you see any of that?
I did not.
Well, they aired an Eagles concert. Chris and I talked about it Monday because we both watched it and we both were into it. And we thought they should do that more often, but we weren't sure whether or not people were into it, people were watching it. Turns out, they got great ratings. 775,000 viewers tuned in to watch that. It was their most Sunday night programming since the long gone summer. You know, the documentary about Mark McGwire with the cameo of Sammy Sosa, which hit 1.6 million viewers.
Interesting.
Are you an Eagles guy?
Yeah, I mean, I like them, but if I knew they were on, I would not have made it appointment radio or TV.
Let's take a listen back to Chris and I talking about this on Monday.
ESPN looking to maximize the audience. Last night, they played an Eagles concert, and it was fantastic. I turned it on, and I had it on in the background the entire night. It was great. I thought it was a brilliant idea from ESPN. Danny, representing the older generation.
I thought it was great also. I put it on, and sure enough, it was the Eagles, the band, Don Henley in all his glory, standing there singing, and I loved it.
Tyler is 24. The youngest one here at the station. I'm sure Tyler isn't jamming out to the Eagles.
My mom watched this last night, and she asked if I wanted to watch, and I said, no thanks, I'll pass.
And Xander is on the phone right now. What's up, Xander?
Hey, guys. You know, I got a bust on Tyler, but I would challenge Tyler. You know, that's mom and dad's music. That's why he doesn't like it. In about 8 to 10 years, he'll appreciate the Eagles.
The thought from Xander on Tyler will absolutely come around because he's just rebelling against his parents. I think there's also a miscalculation on your age group and what you guys have consumed. I can appreciate late 70s, 80s rock, all that. But I'm not going back to the late 50s or the mid 60s to rock out to what my parents would have been listening to when
they're in the car and I happen to cross a Temptation song. You can bet your bottom dollar I'm sticking there and listening to it just because I grew up listening to it. When a young person goes away to college, right, and they're starting to discover who they are without their parents looking over them, living in their parents' house, you know, they try weed for the first time, you go to parties, you drink, you experiment with things, you learn about yourself, and that's when you discover the classics, the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Rolling Stones.
Well, what, do we live Hendrix. Under a rock for 18 years and then all of a sudden the Beatles spawn in our lives?
When you went to school, is that when you were like, boy, Kanye West, late to graduation, this is a classic, this is great? Like, what were you listening to at that point?
A lot of Drake.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble.
Drake, by the way, is the worst concert I've ever seen in my entire life.
Calvin Harris.
And I met you in the
Calvin Harris, I've seen him in concert. That was great.
Yeah.
You're also coming from it with an angle of assuming that rock bands still matter. Today's rock stars are people in hip-hop. I don't feel like I've been told, take that, because he doesn't want to listen to the Eagles.
Take that.
Oh, I felt like he's been the 24-year-old Cap this segment. He's about to take off his shirt and put on a silver necklace.
Hello, boys.
We covered a lot of music that day.
You really did.
When Tyler said he put together a montage of Chris and I talking about music, I didn't realize all the bands we covered.
That was good.
I'm proud of us there.
I missed the combo the first time, but I was able to catch it just now.
Do you like the Eagles, Jess?
I do, but I'm not, like I said, I mean, if you just play a song, I like that song, but it's not appointment radio or TV or whatever for me, and I'm not, I like them, but they're not some band that I go to every time I want to listen.
So what's your go-to band?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is embarrassing or not, but like if I like the band Cake.
Cake.
I like the band
I did
Cake.
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah,
we put up a board, 10 options that Jesse would have said there, I did not see Cake coming.
Yeah. I know. But look, I like the classics. I love the Stones. I love the Beatles. I still love the Beatles. But I wanted to give you something outside the norm, and I like the band Cake.
Cake is the one that we're going the distance.
Yeah.
We're going for speed. What other songs do they sing that you like, or you only know that one?
No, I know a lot of them. The Short Skirt, Long Jacket, Never Gonna Give You Up, which is a great Barry White song. They have a lot of them. And there you go.
Please add that to your Twitter bio that you're a Cake guy.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You ever tell, like, when you're in the Cubs clubhouse, you'd be like, hey, guys, you hear that Cake album? What do you guys think about Cake?
But I've been listening to the Beatles a lot lately. During quarantine, I did, for some reason. I don't even know why. You hear one, then you get hooked on that. So that's kind of how I go about it.
You trying to punish yourself there?
What's wrong with the Beatles?
The Beatles, Chris.
There's nothing wrong, but you said to get through quarantine. It sounds like you created your own punishment that you're listening to the Beatles during quarantine.
Yeah, during quarantine.
Haven't you heard their songs enough?
I'm saying during
haven't you heard it enough, Jesse?
During quarantine, something new? I started listening to them on more than just a random occasion. I would actually go and put them on and whatever. My God.
I like the Beatles. I think that's fine. I don't know why you had to turn to them in quarantine. I understand what Chris is saying.
I turned to random
TV shows that I would have never watched in quarantine. But, like, music, I don't know if I'm like, boy, I'm going to turn to the Rolling Stones now.
It just organically happened. It organically happened. I had it on the iPod, and I'm going to listen to a whole bunch of Beatles songs. That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Do you make your kids listen, too?
No. Okay, no, I got the headphones on.
All right,
I try to drown them out by listening.
Do you listen to your kids' music?
No, everyone's got their headphones on, so I'm not hearing what they're doing, and they're not hearing what I'm doing.
What about in the car? Who has control of the dial in the car?
Well, I do, and it's on AM 1000 all day. So, I mean, it's not about music.
That's the right answer. There it is.
9 to 12 every day. I'm listening, man, to you two with Cap.
Are you pulling a Cap and listening to it while you're in the car to see if we mention you?
No.
Cap listens to Waddle and Sylvie all day. Not necessarily because he cares what Waddle and Sylvie have to say, but he listens to Waddle and Sylvie every day to see if they mention him.
Yeah, but if Waddle and Sylvie mention him, it's usually not in a good light.
Oh, he doesn't care. He's under the impression all pub is good pub.
Yes, he is under that impression. You have him nailed on that one.
Speaking of the great Waddle and Sylvie show, Theo Epstein joins them today at 2:30. Also tonight, catch Jonathan Hood at 6:00, the baseball show, which is Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, Sox, and Major League Baseball. All right, up next, Jesse, I'll be 100% honest with you. The only reason I agreed to host today was to talk to this lady, Tracy Butler, next. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Danny Zetterman, Jesse Rogers in for David Kaplan. And it is now a pleasure. Really, the only reason I agreed to host today's show was to talk to my good friend, the one and only meteorologist at ABC 7, Tracy Butler. What's up, Butler?
Hi, pal. Oh, my gosh, you're in the driver's seat. This is so exciting.
You know, Tracy, when the bosses came to me, when Merck came to me and said, would I be up for it? I was like, I don't really know. And then he's like, it's on a Friday. You get to talk to Tracy. And I was like, count me in. Done. Deal.
Oh,
I can give her a hard time about the weather in front of an audience.
Tracy, do you know who Wally Pipp is, Tracy?
I should. The name sounds really familiar, and I feel really dumb right now.
So Wally Pipp was the guy that came out of the lineup for Lou Gehrig, who then played 2,130 consecutive games. This is what's happening with Cap and Danny right here today. Cap's out of lineup. Danny's in for good.
I love that. That's an awesome analogy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
So, TB, let's first get to the important thing at hand. You got a new puppy. How's puppy Bailey doing?
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, Crisp is the dog whisperer, and he and I were just having an extended conversation. So she has not had an accident in the house for a week, so that's good. But she still wants to chew everything, including my shoes, when they're on my feet, when I'm wearing them. So the chewing thing is kind of annoying, and I'm really wondering how long that's going to last.
Do your hours, because you're up in the middle of the night, I mean, you wake up at 3 in the morning to go to work. Do your hours, does it make it worse with the dog? Like, does she get up now when she hears you awake?
No. You know what? Because I'm working from home, still in the Butler weather cabin, and we have her in a location, a different part of the house, where she doesn't hear me. So I come down, I come right to the basement. She doesn't hear me at all. And I think when Michael gets up, probably around 5 or something, that's when she gets up. So she doesn't even know I exist until I go upstairs for a brief minute at around 9, and she knows I exist then, but then I come right back down. So then noontime, I get to see her some more.
All right, Butler, before we get to the weather, one other thing we were talking about. Last Sunday on ESPN, you were probably asleep for it, but ESPN ran a concert from the Eagles, and it did tremendous ratings. And we were talking all this week where we stand on the Eagles. You are a classic rock fan. Yay or nay on the Eagles?
I waffle. I have to say I remember exactly where I was when I heard Hotel California the very first time. And Jesse will appreciate this. I was driving. We were going to a Pirates game. And so I was at Three Rivers Stadium. And when I hear that song, that's what I think about. Going to the Pirates game of all things. As many of your listeners know, I'm originally from Pittsburgh. So, but yeah, they're not one of my favorite bands, but I love Victim of Love. That's like my favorite Eagles song.
That's not my favorite Eagles song. I don't even know if I could identify that Eagles song if we played it right now.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Maybe. The Eagles.
I don't know that song.
The Eagles are Hotel California. That's my jam. I like that.
Yeah, I love that song. I have favorites. They'd be in the middle of my list. I have many other bands.
Well, Tom Petty's number one.
Oh my gosh, my heart. Yes. Yes, he is. He always will be. Absolutely.
All right, TB. So I like what you did today. I like how you got the rain out of the way before the majority of Chicago was awake. I think you should do that from here on out. Get the grass watered, get the shrubbery, get the little water, and then when it's time for the day, the sun comes up. What are we looking for the rest of today? And most importantly, what are we looking for one of these beautiful July weekends?
Okay, well, here we go. So for today, the rain is done, but it's still kind of muggy out there. But we're already getting full-on sun. The rest of the afternoon, we're going to have bright skies. It's going to be a great-looking Friday. If you want to do something outdoors this evening, the weather is going to be very cooperative. I think tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, we're looking at dry conditions. But I do see a disturbance coming in that is going to contribute some isolated storms to the forecast tomorrow evening. Right now, it looks like they would mainly be in some of the west and southwest and even southern suburbs. But again, kind of like earlier in the week, we had some areas that got a couple of storms and then other areas got absolutely buck-kissed, as we will say, a non-meteorological term. Some areas got nothing, and I think that's what happens again tomorrow. Sunday morning, for anybody who has an early morning tea time on Sunday, we're probably going to start the day with some rain here Sunday, but then Sunday afternoon, I think things will quiet down, dry out. Probably even going to feel a little more comfortable Sunday with even lower dew points or lower humidity levels. We're looking at highs in the 80s, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I think we start to get some 90-degree temperatures back middle of next week. I mean, it was looking as though the end of next week we could be, challenging maybe even triple-digit temperatures, but now it looks like we're probably going to side on the low to mid 90 forecast for middle of next week.
When you say rain Sunday morning, when's that going to end? Are we looking at like 11 or are we looking at 3?
3 a.m.
No,
or
p.m. Like, I want to know how much of Sunday you're washing out. That's what I'm getting at, Butler. How much of Sunday are you ruining?
Oh, it's so personal for you. I'm going to ruin Sunday morning, probably through about 8 or 9.
Okay, that's not bad at all. We had this week a lot of 90-degree days, right? How many did we have this day, this week?
Well, so far, we've had 6 in a row. I mean, just crazy. We average 15 90-degree days in a year, and we've had 16 already.
So did we beat last year? Because I feel like last year we had 2.
No, we had 14 last year. We had 14 last year, so we've already beat last year. We had 5 days in a row of 90-degree temperatures this week. On Tuesday, we had the hottest temperature we've had in about 2 years, which was 96 degrees.
It does look like it's we're going to get a break, finally. from the 90 degrees. It looks like it's going to be pleasant.
Yeah, you know what? The weekend, yeah, we're going to have these highs in the 80s that's still warm. We're still going to have some above-average temperatures. I do think over the weekend you're going to feel a little more of a lake breeze, especially on Sunday. Sunday's a day when, really, temperatures near the lake may stay in the upper 70s. That is conceivable. But then I do see this heat pattern building back up, you know, middle, end of next week, and probably stretching into the week after, too.
Speak for yourself a break, Jesse. Who wants a break? It's been
if we go from 90 to 80, that's pretty good.
90's pretty good. I like 90.
No. The only thing is with much, you know, as much outdoor seating and dining as we're doing, I think 90's is a little much. So 80's, I think, is going to be really nice for people that want to be, you know, eat outside and hang outside more than just, you know, go to the beach or whatever.
I like the way you think of others, Jess. That's great. Butler, you're the best. Have a great weekend. Hit them straight.
Take care, guys. All right. Will do. Bye.
Bye, Trace.
She always hits them straight.
She's the greatest. I've golfed with her. She is really, really good. All right. Up next, the Cubs 2016 Farewell Tour. Is that on deck?